Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for June 11, 2007, episode number 30. Welcome back, everyone, to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
This week, we're going to talk about the Worldwide Developers Conference and the All Things Digital Conference that happened a week or two ago. We're going to go ahead and spend the bulk of the show talking about this stuff and the news that came out of that. And we'll get started with Joe and the WWDC.
So today, actually, just a little bit before we recorded this, I think it was 10 a.m. Pacific time, Steve Jobs came out and gave the keynote at the Worldwide Developer Conference, which is Apple's kind of, well, it's their developer conference. It's where they talk about, they focus more on OS X and what software people are developing for the Mac, and less focus on, you know, the consumer type things like the Apple TV or the iPod, which I think a lot of people are glad to see a little more focus on OS X because, you know, with the name change and other things, it's felt a little bit neglected in the past year or so. So this was big news because Apple is finally coming out with their... They finally showed us a feature-complete version of OS 10.5 Leopard.
Leopard.
Which we saw last year in a preview at the same conference. But they hid some things and they said there's some secret features. And there still may be some things that they haven't announced yet because they aren't giving the beta to the press yet, just to developers still.
And a lot of people were upset because they felt like Leopard wasn't getting the attention that it deserved because they felt like it was being put off because of iPhone development.
So basically the whole keynote was pretty much focusing on Leopard. There's a little iPhone coverage at the end. We'll get to that later. The keynote started off with a couple announcements from some gaming companies, which was a surprise, I think, for most people.
EA, it was for me, big time.
Yeah. I mean, gaming has been really lacking on the Mac for many, many years now. And I think I kind of was hoping for this. With the switch to Intel, you really have seen a lot of the big developers coming back to the Mac.
Right.
You know, Adobe has finally brought back Premiere. Mm. You know, and then now we've got EA bringing their big titles to the Mac over the next year.
Yeah, Madden and the golf.
That's right, Tiger Woods golf. Yeah, and then they listed some other things: Command & Conquer 3, Need for Speed, Battlefield 2142, and everybody's favorite, Harry Potter. I know you're looking forward to it.
So basically, we have like the creme de la creme of each genre.
Right.
We got the best sports games. We got one of the most popular driving games. We got Warcraft was already there.
Right.
So there's your MMO. Then
there's going to be some good options finally for the Mac when it comes to gaming again.
And that's cool.
You know, I question this a little bit though because we've talked about this before. There's not really a gaming PC or a gaming Mac. Like you can buy the Mac Pro and change that graphics card.
Yeah.
What are you going to play Madden on your iMac?
Yeah.
I mean, my MacBook Pro, it games pretty good. I ran WoW on it, and it ran great. But WoW's kind of an older game now.
Right.
You know, how are these systems going to hold up? So we'll see. You know, you won't be able to buy your $600 graphics card for your Mac unless you have a Pro, which is way too expensive.
Yeah.
So I really was hoping for that missing piece we keep talking about.
Yeah, educate me on what is the graphics card slot on the big desktop?
The Pro?
Yeah.
The Pro uses a PCI Express.
So it's an Express slot.
Yeah, so you can use any graphics card with that that's Mac compatible. Anyway.
Provided there's drivers, etc.
Right, which most of the high-end cards, there's drivers for the Mac.
There's probably more drivers for that than there is for Vista.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So, you know, but that's $2,500 minimum to start for a Mac Pro.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's $2,000 now, I guess. I think they dropped the price a little. But either way, that's way too much. I mean, people want to customize their system a little bit more, and so they really need that missing something between the Mac Mini and the Mac Pro.
And an equivalent PC for that amount of money would be awesome.
Right.
It would be an awesome gaming rig.
Yeah. So I don't know. And the Mac Pro does do gaming well. But, you know, we digress. ID made some announcements, or maybe you call it ID. I call it ID. not really much to see here. It was just a tech demo. They showed, hey, look, we can load all these crazy textures and blah, blah, blah. Nothing really innovative. It's just more of the same from ID, which I'm kind of tired of them since they haven't really brought anything new in my mind.
And Joe brings this Mac on every ad. That's right. Episode 30.
Man. Well, you know what I mean? I mean, Doom 3 was such a disappointment, and they hyped it up so much for like 10 years. They're like, oh, Doom 3 is coming out 10 years.
Man, I feel you.
Yeah. So I don't know. Until I see an actual game from them that's amazing, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah.
So we're supposedly going to hear more at E3 about the Mac and gaming. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means, but hey, that's we'll cool. See. So moving on, they finally showed us the new styling of Leopard. So the desktop has been improved quite a bit. Desktop and Finder, those have been needing an upgrade for a long time. It's been a big complaint of Mac users. The Finder is it's old, it feels kludgy, it doesn't fit in with the ease of use of the rest of the operating system. That's why things, launchers like Quicksilver and other products have come around and really people use those more than Finder. So some new things they've done. The dock is new. You can now do what they're calling stacks, where you have a group of icons almost, where you mouse over it and then it'll pop up. Depending on how many there are, if there's only a few, it does this nice little curve up, going up and kind of over a little. And then if there's several, then it just becomes a grid. Mm-hmm. But still looks good. And this is nice because the dock then, you know, if you want more than 10 or 12 apps, you know, at this point, before this, you had to have them be like a quarter of an inch tall to be able to fit more than a few apps on there. And that's kind of depressing for a small screen, especially.
Yeah.
You know, like your MacBook.
Hey, don't knock the 13-inch awesome black Mac.
That's right. No, but I mean, you know what I mean. You've complained about the dock and how it kind of gets in your way and you can't put everything on there you want. And you find yourself not even using it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that to me is a big thing. It's kind of hard to describe, so just go to Apple's website and you can see some demos of all these things we're talking about.
Yeah, they have flash videos up of each.
Yeah, thing. And it looks good. So go check those out while we're talking about them and you'll maybe understand a little bit more of what we mean. One nice thing too that they automatically add is a stack for downloads, and I love this because I guess I'm just super anal, but I want a clean desktop. You know, my computer, that's it. That's all I want. Or I guess my MacBook or whatever the stupid Mac name is. So the downloads automatically go into a download stack. Very nice. Moving on, the menu bar at the top is now translucent, so that you can see your background through it, which is nice. I don't know if that's really that big of a deal, but really the big plus on the interface to me is it's a unified interface now. All the applications and everything will look the same. No more mix of brush metal and gradients and kind of this hodgepodge of interface. I think they finally fixed the back end and made it so it's all pulled from the same dynamic. Probably very similar to Vista, where it's probably all kind of 3D and generated on the fly. And
everything gets skinned the same.
Yeah, exactly, which is what you want.
Right.
So that's good. Finder, there's a new sidebar where it shows your current computers you can see, blah, blah, blah. So what? Big deal. CoverFlow. This, to me, CoverFlow built into Finder.
Pretty cool.
When you first hear it, you're thinking, well, why are they sticking CoverFlow in the Finder? It's everywhere now. What, do they think it's some cool... I think this is really where CoverFlow will shine. You can, you know, flip through your icons, large, nice-looking icons, flip through them. But here's the thing. They've built in so that you can actually play QuickTime movies. You can search through pages of documents all within CoverFlow and even just the main icons on your Finder.
Mm-hmm. This always reminds me of opening a filing cabinet, pulling out a folder that has stuff in it, opening the folder and then flipping through the papers. And it makes more sense with this application, like with documents, than it does with music.
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
I mean, I think it's even a better home for it here than on iTunes.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just a pretty thing. You know, it's not just, look, wow, I can scroll through all this stuff really fast. There's more to it than just looking at it. You can interact with these gigantic icons. And it's all super fast, at least in the demo.
Mm-hmm.
You see you can go from a QuickTime movie, you start to preview it, you think, oh, I do want to watch that. You can go full screen right from there. They've really added, I think it's all this core animation they keep talking about, this back end, again, similar to what Vista did, but it just seems like it's better implemented because it's not just Flash, it's functionality and Flash mixed together, mm-hmm. which is what Mac has really always been famous for. So go look at the cover flow, and then the other thing they're calling, what is it called? Like Quick Look, I think is what it's called. But it's basically what allows you to go through the documents quickly, page by page, in cover flow, or even just in...
So you can look at the whole document without actually launching the application.
Right. It's like a mini app. It's like, I think you call it preview on crack.
Yeah, it's basically. Like super preview, yeah.
So, for example, they pulled up a keynote presentation, pulled it up in this quick look, and you have the full keynote with your all your slides, with the little bar with all your slides. You can go through it all and see exactly what it is.
Nice.
Now, here's where this really, I think, is smart, because they've got Time Machine now, which we've covered before, where it's, you know, the new backup feature that you can kind of search through old versions. With the quick look, you can do that same thing in your old saved Time Machine documents.
Oh, nice.
So instead of like having to restore the backup, you know, oh, is this the one? Well, let me restore it, open up. Oh, that's not it. You can just do a quick look and you know which one it is, whether or not.
So if I had a few versions of a presentation, I could actually quickly flip through it and go, oh, this is the one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I really see this being, it's one of those things that you can't really describe it well enough to make people understand how much it's going to change the way they do things on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
Even just looking at it, I still don't think I grasp how much I'm going to really like this until I start using it. And I may be blowing this out of proportion. You know, I tend to be a bit of a fanboy, but it's just such an intuitive use
mm-hmm.
of a great looking feature. The next big thing they announced is 64-bit. Leopard is fully 64-bit, which people may be thinking, so what, 64-bit? There's a 64-bit version of Windows. The difference here is, for one thing, it can still run 32-bit apps, but all of the underpinnings are 64-bit, plus even the interface is 64-bit,
mm-hmm.
which I think is why we're seeing such a nice speed increase on the way the interface loads and moves around, at least according to the demos. That Apple shows on their website, because the way 64-bit can address things, it can address more space at once and do things in bigger chunks, so it doesn't have to line things up and do them in a row. It can just do a big chunk at once.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is things like nice graphical changes will be smoother and happen faster than they would have in the past.
Right.
So they're claiming this is, you know, 64-bit going mainstream. I don't know about all that. And it's going to take everybody developing their apps to be 64-bit, which is not a trivial thing. I mean, that's a total memory overhaul of your entire application. So I see it being slow, but it can be very good. And they, according to all the postings I've seen, they showed some demos that really showed off how much better a 64-bit app is, and especially when it comes to imaging and video, which is where the Mac shines in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Vista really did drop the ball when they didn't do this. It was originally planned in Longhorn from the beginning to make it 64-bit, and they just couldn't make it happen because they need all this backwards compatibility. So they really have the potential to leave Microsoft behind again when it comes to image manipulation and video, because Vista really did kind of catch up, I think, to mm-hmm. Tiger.
Right.
We'll have to see. You know, I'm going off of just what they're saying, but it looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The new version of Bootcamp is built in. It's out of beta when it comes to Leopard, and they're doing some things that are supposed to make it boot into Windows and back faster. There's some sort of sleep mode that it puts. I think it's like a Hibernate type thing, so it doesn't have to do a full reboot when you go into Windows.
That's pretty cool.
They didn't demo that, so I don't know how much better that's going to work. And then, of course, they kept pushing Parallels and VMware because Parallels is selling Macs like crazy, being able to run apps at the same time.
Cool. Cool.
So that those were kind of the big things, really, for when it comes to OS X. Those were really the innovators.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing they announced was the iPhone, which has already been announced. What they announced was how they're going to let third-party apps in. And when I read how they're doing it, I was pretty disappointed until they started talking about how it actually works. So what they're doing is forcing all the third-party stuff to be web apps.
Yeah.
So it's all going to run in Safari. But it's all can tie into the iPhone apps. For example,
so the iPhone is still going to be the front end to all of these.
Right, so you'll have to launch Safari on your iPhone to get any of these third-party apps.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be, I mean, if you look at everything Google is doing with Google Maps, and a lot of that is actually Safari with like a nice interface on it. I mean, the Google Maps on the iPhone is really Safari from what I understand.
Right.
And you can tie into your contacts and basically any of the data stored on your iPhone, mm-hmm. you can get to through the web interface. It's just sandboxed so that you can't take down your iPhone, or, you know, a virus won't be able to get on there. It won't be able to take down the AT&T network, which I guess apparently has actually happened with a smartphone before, with like the Windows smartphones. So kind of disappointing, but it sounds like it's actually going to be better than it seems. I'm going to be that's a wait and see approach for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the final big announcement, and this kind of blew me away and made me kind of sit back for a minute. Safari, Apple's browser, is now being released for Windows. And I was like, what? Why are they doing that? And I think their strategy here is, a lot of people run iTunes and they're like, that's the most beautiful application I have on my desktop.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give them one more little app that maybe will run better. Now, is Safari the right choice? I don't know. I installed the new Beta 3, which is what they're releasing on both Windows and Mac. It actually looked better on Windows than it did on the Mac because I don't have the new unified interface yet.
Right.
And it loads pages fast, faster than Firefox 2. Firefox 2 has kind of become bloated,
mm-hmm.
and some of that's due to my 1,200 app extensions I have in there. So it's my own fault. But.
Yeah. So Apple's like, here's what French toast tastes like.
Yeah.
Here's what French fries taste like. And then maybe they're hoping that PC users are like, woohoo, we're going to France. You know?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just... They come over to that.
I think that's kind of what they're hoping for. We'll see if it's... I could be wrong. It also could be the prediction of John C. Dvorak. They're bringing everything that Apple makes to Windows. I mean, right. Maybe we'll see iLife 07 for Windows.
Well, you mentioned earlier, and this is what I thought too when I saw the demo, because all the CoverFlow stuff and all the new Finder and all that stuff, because it works just like iTunes...
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a Windows user and you understand iTunes,
yeah,
you'll be at home when you get a Mac because
right.
it works the exact same way. Mm-hmm. All the menus, all the little windows, the cover flow, it's all there. It all still does. Mm-hmm. It acts the same way. So, and maybe that's their new strategy.
And I do find that iTunes and those apps, they definitely still work much better on the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still Apple making Windows software, which they're not that good at, so... We'll see how Safari holds up. I installed it. I ran it for about 10 seconds, and that's all I've done.
That's the beta, yeah.
Yeah, the beta 3. So, I don't know. We'll see. It was a pretty good keynote. You know, I haven't seen the video yet, so there may be some things we're missing. But I have to say, I kind of predicted it pretty right when I was like, it's kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when I use it, I may change my mind because it's a simple but complicated back-end upgrade.
And how much are their operating systems usually?
$129.
So it's $129
yeah.
to get you from Tiger to Leopard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Which is a lot, but it's only one version. They did kind of poke fun at Microsoft. Steve Jobs was like, and we're also going to release a business version with all the same features, and it's the same price, $129.
Right.
Oh, and releasing Ultimate Edition. Same features, same price.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm still taking a wait-and-see approach. I probably won't get Leopard when it releases in, October?
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably wait and see how everybody likes it.
We'll do a rewind next week if there's anything major that we didn't know about just from the secondhand info. But I think we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the All Things Digital Conference and the historic interview on stage with both Steve Jobs and Bill Gates right next to each other at the same time. We'll be right back. So we're going to talk about the All Things Digital conference that happened recently, and the main, they had a lot of guests. They had George Lucas. They had some politicians there. They had people from Cisco, Microsoft. Steve Ballmer was there.
Don't forget Palm. It was an important.
You know the Palm. you know, I can't even mentally go there.
They're trying so hard to be relevant.
So, anyway, Palm fans. Sorry, I just whatever. So anyway, they had a lot of guests, a lot of guest speakers, and they all, you know, said a lot of stuff, but really all people really cared about was the joint interview with Steve Jobs and Bill Gates on the stage at the same time, right next to each other.
Pretty sweet.
So yeah, it was pretty cool. So this popped up on iTunes. If you have iTunes, I think it's on the front page of iTunes right now. So you can download just the audio or the video. I watched the whole video and it was not quite what I expected.
Really?
I thought it was going to be more of a debate type thing or a back and forth, and really, and the interviewers were really trying to pull it out of them. They were trying to get them to kind of like, well, what about when he made you mad, and what about when he backstabbed you? And they were kind of, you know, I mean, not really in those terms, but they were trying to pull that out, but it wasn't working because I think both of these guys over time have really mellowed out.
Yeah,
they pretty much made it. Their companies aren't on the rocks. You know, obviously Microsoft's not, and really Apple's not either right now. So they're both coming from a relaxed position, and really they kind of stressed the times that they've worked well together, you know. And
yeah,
so they talked about when they first got started, about what a fun time it was, and they kind of lamented the fact that a lot of the big names that were in the industry up front now are no longer there, that they've taken their money and just kind of retired, or, you know, they've given up on it. They really kind of compliment each other on what the other one is doing well. You know, Gates, you know, said he envied Steve Jobs' ability to really package a product and make something that was beautiful and high quality and really understand what customers want, and then being able to implement and give it to them. And, you know, Jobs was saying that, you know, what Gates and his company really done had really invented the software company. Because when Microsoft got started, the concept of a pure software company really didn't exist, and that they were able to basically sell the whole idea of, we're making something that you really can't see in your machine. You know, I mean, here's a disk. Trust me, it's going to be there. You know, so that he was complimentary of that. And really, aside from the differences that they've had, Jobs pretty much even said that Microsoft was one of the few partners that they'd had throughout history that had really been successful. I mean, it was one of the few times that it actually worked for them to partner. Well,
he better back them up, because if Microsoft didn't make Office for the Mac, it'd be all over.
Yeah, that would be tragic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you need some Excel, you need something over there,
right,
for your business people. But and Gates was saying, well, you know, hey, some of our when we worked Office for the Mac, that it was one of the more fun things that they had done. And that they always enjoyed working with Apple.
Really?
And yeah, it was just
that's cool.
For them, that was almost like a vacation to be able to work on that. And a lot of the stuff that they did for Mac, they did from the ground up. You know, it wasn't just a port of their software. So it was pretty good. They did have, you know, Gates talked about, you know, seeing things out there in the world and trying to identify all these things and trying to do them, trying to do it well. Whereas Jobs kind of took the counterpoint of, we don't want to do everything well.
Right.
You know, we want to find the best people in search and partner with them. We want to find the best people in graphics and partner with them. You know, we want to bring in smart people to work with us and then not reinvent the wheel. You know, and that was not really a jab, but, you know, and that's Microsoft's strategy, really. Is they look out the window, they see what's cool, and then they come in and they reinvent the wheel and put a Microsoft brand on it. But Jobs was more concerned about services. Like, he wants to pull what he calls, like, services from the internet cloud into Apple. So, like, Google. He mentioned Google. It was like, they're awesome at search. And Google Maps is nice in a browser. But he's claiming that when you get your iPhone and you see what they do with that Google search service and the Google Maps service, when they repackage it and show you what it can do with Apple's front end on it, he's like, we blow it away. Like, we totally surpass everything Google Maps can do on the iPhone. So that's kind of his stance, is, you know, we're going to be your looking glass. You know, we're going to package everything so it's integrated, seamless, looks the same, runs the same, where it always works. And we're just going to pull, you know, the talent from the internet and, you know, let people do what they do well, and we'll do what we do well, and then everything will just, it's to everyone's benefit. You know, and I think Microsoft, I think it was sort of a left-handed, you know, jab there like, well, you know, Microsoft's sort of slightly predatory, or maybe very predatory, and they tend to, like, take what people do and redo it so that that company's no longer necessary.
So did Bill Gates I only got to see just some clips of it, but did Bill Gates respond to that comment, or did he just kind of deflect it?
Yeah, well, he kind of, on that topic, he kind of went first, so, and then, you know, this was sort of the Jobs answer, you know, and Gates was like, well, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that, and the interviewers, and I forget their name, and I'm not going to go into that, but they kind of took them to task on a few things, like, how come we're all still 2D? What is going on? You know, where's our 3D internet? And basically both of them kind of said, well, don't discount how far we've come. You know, yeah, you're still got icons on your desktop, you know, the way we did a long time ago, but, I mean, what we're doing with those is a lot more powerful than it used to be. It's a lot more beautiful than it used to be. And for one thing, people don't want to jump into a car and use a joystick to drive. They're used to a steering wheel, and when they sit down in a car, they expect a steering wheel to be there. And so that's kind of their argument, is, you know, if we totally go in left field, people won't know how to use our product anymore. So it's like, you can be innovative or you can be intuitive, but it's hard to be both at the same time. So they made that comment. You know, Jobs kind of made a little jab about, you know, they asked him if he was jealous about Bill Gates' ability to do all the philanthropy that he does, you know, donating all the money for, you know, medical research.
Good. I'm glad they called him out on that.
So they're like, you know, well, Mr. Jobs, are you jealous of Mr. Gates' ability to do that? And he's like, well, no, I think it's good that Bill figured out that there's no point being the richest guy in the cemetery. You know, so there was a few, like, oohs and ahs in the audience, and, you know, Gates just smiled through the whole thing, you know. And
so if this were a debate, I mean, Gates historically does not interview well, it seems like, because he doesn't have much of a sense of humor, and he's, so he's very dry, and it seems like he gets offended easily, and he'll just, like, I mean, he's famous for walking out on interviews. So he obviously didn't do that this time.
No.
If you had to say, like, okay, Jobs won on this front and Gates won on this front, I mean, was there anything obvious like that, or did it not really happen that way?
Having looked at the whole thing, it doesn't really feel like a debate, though.
Right.
It was more of, bring two college roommates, put them together, and they just talk about old times. It's like, remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? Remember when we only had 128K of RAM? And it's more of them sort of reminiscing about how far they've all come and how far the industry has come as a whole. And it really wasn't, I mean, everybody expected it to be a debate or a back and forth or a jab and this and that. And the interviewers even tried to start that ball rolling, but it never rolled. You know, and like I say, these guys are older. They're mellowed out. They don't have to prove anything.
Well, it's probably better that way. I mean, if it had just turned into like a fight, I don't know. These guys, I think, have been around the block enough times that they know that that's not going to make any difference.
Right. And Jobs talked about, you know, when he left Apple and Apple was in trouble, when he came back, and, you know, that Bill Gates was talking about, you know, well, we've been having trouble with negotiations with Gil Emilio, and, and Jobs was like, well, I'm back. You can talk to me now. You know, so that was pretty cool, you know.
And, yeah. And,
but it's worth seeing if you're really deep into, if you're not really deep into the whole history of these two giants, then just watch the highlights. But if you're really deep into it, and I just kind of, I watched it all. I was kind of working on some other stuff, so when they were boring, I just kind of faded out.
Sure.
But it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing. If you have an iPod, throw it on there and listen to it in the car.
Yeah.
But
you don't really need the video, right? Because it's, I mean, it's just mostly them sitting there talking.
I mean, because neither one of them are beautiful to look at.
That's true. Although, you would miss out on those sweet looking red chairs, man.
Yeah, I don't know where they got those barber chairs.
I don't know, but I really want one.
So, but yeah, it was worth seeing. And really, just from the standpoint of, getting two people that yeah. high up in mm-hmm. the hierarchy of technology on this just stage at the same time and just throwing questions out and hearing yeah. what they have to say was pretty nice. But yeah, it was good. Check it out. It's on iTunes. And if we find another source, we'll throw a link in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll have links in the show notes. So just go to the website.
Yeah.
Side of the week.
So, side of the week, we've kind of already covered this site before, but the post was so good.
We're revisiting it.
And that is lifehacker.com. They're just consistently giving good postings that are a little bit different from everything else out there. And what this post was about, we're focusing specifically on one post, is titled The Cubicle Warrior's Guide to Office Jargon. So it's a post, and basically what it is, you know, there's some office speak, and then it's filtered into what it really means. Right. So here's a few examples, and these just got us cracking up, so we wanted to share this with you guys. First one we'll cover, I'm calling to touch base, right? That's something you hear a lot at work.
Yes.
What that really means is, I want something from you, but I can't say it up front, or I'm worried that you were lost, and I'm sniffing around for signs to confirm my hunch, or I'm calling because you micromanage me.
Oh, gosh.
So that was a good one. Let's see, what was another really good one? My plate is full. Right, you know, somebody calls and you ask them to do something. Oh, man, I'm sorry, man, my plate is just full. What that really means is, help, I'm drowning, or I would kill myself before I'd work on your project. Right. And I think that's more likely to be what it is.
Yeah.
So there's several more of these, and all these actually came from a book by Penelope Trunk called Brazen Careerist. And it's basically just a crash course on office speak. I guess the whole book is out of this, and these were just some highlights from it. So may even be worth checking out the book, but at least go check out these posts and share these with some of your office mates, because you're sure to get a laugh.
All right, folks, you have suffered through another episode of Angry Admins. This was number 30. We have done this 30 times and not
quit. Are you serious?
Yes.
That's amazing. We've made it through 30 episodes.
Right. And some of our listeners have even made it through of that.
I don't think any of our original listeners are still with us, because there's no way they suffered through all this.
So if you're the hardcore listener and you've listened to all of our episodes, post on the forum so we will know who you
are. Yeah, we might even give you something, but probably not.
Probably a hard time. Okay, yeah, if you have anything to say, good or bad, check us out on the forums. The website, as always, www.angryadmins.com. We'll be back again next week. And until then, my name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
There is no need for calm. Please remain angry.